Dear friends in Christ, God is throwing a party. I mean a banquet. I mean a really big feast. It's a wedding celebration. But only those who are humbled get invited. Good news. God has written your name on his guest list with the blood of his Son, Jesus. He humbles us, brings us down to earth, so that he can exalt us and bring us up to heaven. A story. This story is about a man by the name of Thomas Wheeler. Thomas Wheeler was the CEO, Chief Executive Officer, of Massachusetts Mutual Life Insurance. In other words, he was a bigwig. He was a man of importance. He and his wife were traveling one day, and he noticed that the gas gauge was getting down, and he thought, we better pull over and get some gas. And there was this little podunk town, and there was this little podunk, you know, kind of sleazy gas station with just one pump. And there was a gas station attendant, was the only one working there, pulls in. He says, would you please fill it up? And Thomas says, and I'm going to lift the hood, and I'm going to check the oil. And sure enough, it was low, so he had to add a quart of oil. Then he put the hood down on the front of his car, and he looks over, and the gas tank has been filled up, and there is this gas attendant, kind of grimy looking, you know, fraternizing with his wife. They're having this kind of conversation, and they're laughing and stuff. And he thinks, what's going on here? But then as soon as the gas station attendant saw Thomas Wheeler, this man of importance, he immediately went, collected the money for the gas, and then went back into the station. And as Thomas Wheeler was driving away, he looked at his wife and he said, did you know him? And she said, well, as a matter of fact, I did know him. I haven't seen him for years. We went to high school together. You went to high school together? She said, yeah, we went to high school. In fact, I got to be honest with you, we dated seriously for more than a year. Thomas Wheeler looked at his wife and said, well, it's a good thing our paths crossed and that you met me, or you would be the wife of a gas station attendant. And Thomas's wife looked at him and said, no, honey, you see, if I had married that gas station attendant, he would be a CEO and you would be a gas station attendant. A little bit of humble pie. Jesus knows that we all get inflated. We all get puffed up. Paul wrote about that a lot when he wrote to the church in Corinth. And so Jesus serves us humble pie. Not because he wants to embarrass, shame, and humiliate us. No, he'll bear our shame and our embarrassment and our humiliation on the cross for us. But he knows that there's only one way to exalt us. He can't get us up to heaven unless he brings us down to earth, so that we can, in fact, be in the Imago Dei, in the image of God, as we were created to be. You and I were not created to be gods. In self-control of our destinies, we were created to be children of God, creatures, not the Creator. So humble pie is actually a very wonderful gift. Lord, whose love in humble service bore the weight of human need, who upon the cross forsaken worked your mercy's mighty deed. You know that song. Lord, whose love in humble service, we your servants bring the worship, not with voice alone, but heart, consecrating to your purpose every gift which you impart. You call me teacher, master, Lord, so I am. If then I have washed your feet, Jesus says in John 13, then I've given you an example to follow, to love one another even as I have loved you. Or what Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, have this mind among yourselves, which is already yours in Christ Jesus. He who, though he was in the form of God, didn't count equality with God a thing to be grasped. He emptied himself. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. He humbled himself. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In our gospel reading for tonight, Jesus quotes Proverbs 25. Peter in his epistle, James in his epistle, will also quote these words of Jesus, which come from Proverbs 25. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Doesn't surprise us. There's always a reversal. The last will be first, and the first will be last. We've heard these kinds of words from Jesus all through the travel narrative. As Jesus is catechizing, as Jesus is teaching his followers what it means to be disciples, to carry the cross, to look good on wood, to make sure that they love one another, that they show hospitality to strangers, that they hold marriage in honor and don't defile the marriage bed. All of those wonderful instructions that we hear in Hebrews chapter 13. Humility is actually a gift from God that brings us down so that God can lift us up. A pastor in a very, very large church in Georgia tells this story. He said that Truett Cathy, and I think you know the name, he's the founder of Chick-fil-A. Truett Cathy was coming to his huge church. They had a man's banquet, and the men, there were in this big auditorium, literally a couple hundred tables. I mean, they were expecting 500, 600, 700 men there, a sellout crowd. They hadn't let them in yet. And so this senior pastor approaches Truett Cathy and says, I want to introduce myself. I'm the pastor of this large congregation, and we've got about 500, 600, 700 men out there that are just waiting to hear you speak tonight about your faith. If there's anything at all you need, anything that I can do, you just let me know. And Truett Cathy, he had this big box, and he hands the box. He said, you see this? He said, these are cards for a free chicken sandwich. I want you to put one on each of the plates. The pastor said, the nerve. I mean, he said this to himself, the nerve. Didn't he hear me say that I am the senior pastor of this huge church? And then he said, I realized that Truett Cathy had given me an opportunity to take a lesser seat and to see the banquet from a different perspective. To take a lesser seat and to see the banquet from a different perspective. And he said, so I, the all-important big senior pastor, was racing around all those tables putting a free chicken sandwich cart at each place setting. This travel narrative in Luke's gospel, this teaching about discipleship, chapter 14 is all about meals and banquets and dining and reclining. Did you notice how our gospel lesson for tonight began? It's the Sabbath. You know all about the Sabbath. Friday night, 6 p.m. to Saturday night, 6 p.m. The seventh day of the week, a day set apart for rest, no work. The Pharisees had 1,521 different rules about what you couldn't do on the Sabbath because it was work. 1,521 no-nos. It's the Sabbath. That's the first thing that St. Luke tells us. And Jesus has been invited into the home of a ruler. Right? You see the head swelling already? A ruler of the Pharisees. And there's a bunch of other important people there too. They're on the guest list. And what happens? Jesus notices that they are all watching him carefully. You know what that means, right? To watch someone or something carefully. You know what that means? They are watching him carefully. Not because he's the rabbi teacher and they want to be disciples and they want to imitate him and follow and be like him. No, no, no. Why are they doing this? So they can trap him, so that they can discredit him, so that they can humiliate the guest of honor. And suddenly, we don't even know where this guy comes from, but there's a man with dropsy, edema, maybe congestive heart failure, noticeably puffed up with accumulated fluids, water. And Jesus is not afraid to ask a question. What do you guys think, you legal experts? You know the Bible. This is the Sabbath. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to heal this man? Huh? And they were, yeah, just like you, silent. They didn't say anything. What do you think Jesus does when we're silent? He goes ahead and does what he wants to do, because he's Lord, you know. So in just a short little verse, he takes the man and heals the man and sends him away. I bet he's probably out in the highways and the byways inviting other people to the feast of the Lamb, the eschatological banquet. I bet. And then Jesus, kind of like an exclamation point, he says, which of you guys, you got a son? You got a son? Which of you guys that has a son or an ox, if it fell into a well on the Sabbath, would wait 24 hours before you rescued him? And they didn't say nothing. What could they say? I mean, that's kind of in your face, folks. I mean, we know what the Sabbath is for. Jesus has been teaching. There's seven Sabbath healing stories in the Gospel of Luke. And Jesus has already told them, you know, don't you, that the Sabbath was in honor of creation and redemption? The whole reason that the Sabbath was given is so that we could rest as participants in the new creation, delivered by the grace of God, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And Jesus said, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. In other words, Jesus is not subservient to a day in the calendar, but the day in the calendar is subservient to God. You need to read all of chapter 14. We only get a portion of it tonight. We'll get a little bit more next week. But we're going to miss the kind of center section about this great eschatological banquet, the Feast of the Lamb. But we know that Jesus immediately tells a parable. Why? Because he not only has been noticing that the other guests are watching him carefully, but guess what Jesus has been doing? He's been watching them carefully. Isn't that funny? I find humor in that. They are so crafty, they're watching him carefully. You know? Meanwhile, what's Jesus doing the whole time? He's not oblivious. He's watching them carefully. He says, you know, by the way, I noticed you guys like to pick the best seats. You know, like behind the dugout or home plate, you know, at a baseball game. You know, like right at the 50-yard line, first, second row, if you're going to the Vikings game or something. He said, I noticed that you like to be with the big shots. You like the seats of honor. But you know what the Proverbs say. Whoever exalts themselves will be humbled. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted. And don't you think, I mean, what does common sense tell you? Don't you think it would be embarrassing to go and sit in a place of importance, and when the place fills up, to have the person in charge come and say, hey, buddy, you got a ticket for that seat? You're in the wrong place. Move it. I mean, that's embarrassing. It's a lot better to be in the back, right? And to say, Craig, what you doing back there, buddy? Don't you know? I got a seat right up here in the front for you. And then, of course, the question becomes, when you've been exalted and brought forward, friend, Jesus says, come up higher. You're going to turn Jesus down? Huh? Are you? You're going to say, I'm sorry, but you don't know me. I'm the kind of person that likes to sit in the back row. I don't really like attention. I don't like you calling me out. You see? That's what Jesus is trying to teach. This is called banquet etiquette. So what does it mean to be a good guest? And what does it mean to be a good host? What does it mean to be a good guest and a good host? Jesus looks at the host that has invited him, and he says, when you invite someone to a dinner, a banquet, don't invite your husband or your kids or your in-laws. Don't invite your co-workers. Don't invite the rich folks. Did you hear who he said to invite? He said it twice, but you only get to hear it once because the second part of it comes in the verses after our text for tonight. When you invite someone to your house for dinner, the poor, the crippled, the lame, all of the misfits. Why? Jesus looks at his host and says, because they can't repay you. They can't operate with pay for play or quid pro quo. They can't. So who are we inviting to come to the banquet? John Ortberg is a pastor of a large congregation, Menlo Park, California, a Presbyterian church, Orthodox confessional. John Ortberg tells this story. His mother and dad were hosting a Bible study in their house. And one day, John Ortberg crossed paths with the woman who was the hairdresser for his mother. And John Ortberg comes back and says, Mom, you know who I ran into today? Your hairdresser. And I think she's open for a spiritual conversation. The next time you go and have your hair cut, Mom, you need to ask her if she would like to have a spiritual conversation to talk about God, Jesus. You need to do that, Mom. You know what his mother said to him? She said, John, that woman is living in sin. She's with her fifth husband. I don't want nothing to do with her. And John said, I think that God wants you to have a conversation with that woman and to invite her into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, what do you do when your son says that to you and he's a pastor? So the next time she goes to get her hair done at the beauty salon, she sits in the chair and she says a prayer. Lord, I don't want to associate with this woman. I don't want to have a conversation with this woman. But if you insist, then she's got to bring the topic up. She starts cutting the hair and says, I heard that you and your husband host a Bible study in your home. Is that true? And John Ortsberg's mother goes, yeah. She said, well, I'll tell you what. My mother was Jewish. My father was Roman Catholic. My mother took me to synagogue worship every Sabbath. My father made me say the rosary and do confession every day. And I got so confused. And you know what I did? I turned to alcohol, and I could drink with the best of them. And then I realized I needed help. I went to an AA meeting, and I didn't want to call my higher power God. So I called him Ralph. And then one night, a drunk comes into the AA meeting. He says, my name is Ralph, and I'm an alcoholic. And this hairdresser, this woman, she says, I need to know the true God. I realized I need to know the true God. Can you help me? And the hairdresser and her husband, they started coming to the home of John Ortberg's parents for the weekly Bible study. When you send out the invitations, the Father wants his house filled. And some of those who were invited, according to Luke 14, they were busy with other matters. And they had excuses. I just got married, you understand. I just bought 5 oxen. You understand? I have to go and examine them. I just bought some land. You understand? I just got to go take care of it. You know. Excuses. They knew when the wedding feast banquet was going to be. And now the food is all ready. It's sitting at the table. It's time to eat. Ding, 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 ding. The bell's ringing. Oh, but they're too busy. So, the Father, the master of the house, he says to the servants, you know who he's talking to, right? We're the servants. He says to the servants, the father, the master of the house says to the servants, get out there. Get out there for crying out loud. Don't you realize the house has to be filled? And some of those who are invited, they won't get to taste my food. They won't. But there's still more room. And the guest list is wide open. And we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. God wants to write the names of more people on his guest list. And he does it with the blood of his son, Jesus, crucified for the forgiveness of our sins. You see, he serves us humble pie so that he can bring us down to earth where we belong. And so that at the banquet, he can give us his body and blood and raise us up to heaven. Friend, come up higher. Yeah. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to rise as you